I'm an alcoholic. My name's Chris. And I'm a grateful active member of the Happy Hour Discussion Group in Port Nickel. That's about an hour and a half north of Toronto, Ontario. And I'm also a member of Area 86. And my sobriety date is October 11th, 2004. Just want to thank the rest of the panel and Gary L. for submitting my name to be here today, and for Eva and the conference committee for selecting me to speak on this panel, which I really know nothing about, but very humbled and honored to be here. And I'd like to thank my wife and my son and my mom for being here too, and all my friends from up Midland area, and for coming, and a guy from Thunder Bay I know, and holy geez, you know, it's like speaking at home, almost. Almost. Anywhere I go in Alcoholics Anonymous, I feel at home, and really grateful for that. You know, I was really thinking about what I could tell you about the 12 concepts, and you know, all I can really tell you is that they're in the service manual. You know, you know, and I was thinking, you know, the 12 concepts are for world service, and you know, if this weekend is not a display of world service, I don't know what is. And you know, I've met people from all over the world this weekend, and you know, I'm really grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'll just give you a little bit of who I am and where I was and how I got here, briefly. I was born August 5th, 1981, and 33 years old. I got sober at 23. My dad is also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. He's been sober for almost 20 years. So this is a family disease, and you know, growing up, you know, I thought my life was pretty normal, and you know, because that's all I knew. And you know, I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, it wasn't normal from what I hear. You know, and I heard a guy say it always felt like the black sheep of my family, and you know, I heard a guy say at the podium one day, he said, "Welcome to the herd," you know. But you know, you know, when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I couldn't identify with a lot of people because I was pretty young, and a lot of people had gray hair. And you know, if you can't really see, I got some gray hair coming in myself, and but I could identify with the feelings and those types of things. And you know, luckily for me, when I got sober, I got involved with service right away. My sponsor, he actually wasn't my sponsor at the time, but soon did become my sponsor. And he took me aside one day and he said to me, you know, "I'd like you to be here at 7 o'clock to set up the meeting and put the coffee on." I said, "Well, I don't know how to make coffee." He said, "I don't care. Just be here." And handed me the key. And the following Tuesday, you know, like Bob was saying, the people who submitted his name didn't show up. My sponsor wasn't there at 7 o'clock to help me. But, you know, I did that for years, and, you know, I still show up in my home group at 7 o'clock. And there's a guy from my area, Butch M. He talks about, many of you people have probably heard him speak. He says he's a home group guy, and I am definitely a home group guy. I'm going to miss my home group on Tuesday, because I'll be in Savannah with my wife and my family, and you know, but I don't miss my home group very often. Yeah. Well, how much time do I got left? I wasn't asked to come here as a service. As a servant of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was asked to come as Chris Stapley. That's my last name. But I do hold a service position in Alcoholics Anonymous at the area level, at Area 86. I'm an area treatment chair, subcommittee chairperson. I'm sitting on a panel with past trustees and past delegates, and you know, I don't have that much experience yet, but one day I hope to be there, you know, through good sponsorship and, you know, putting my hand up, you know, I'm sure I will. So I'm just going to, I'm all over the place, but I'm just going to tell you a bit about me and, you know, how service has covered all aspects of my life, unity, recovery, and service. When I got sober, I was 23 years old, and, you know, I met my wife in a treatment center. And, you know... and Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll hear that they said this and they said that, and you know, I've never met they, and you know, we got together you know, very early in sobriety, and you know, we've had our ups and downs, but you know, we've been married for 4 years now, and have a 3-year-old son who's right there. Hey, baby. And, you know, I'm a member of that family that I felt once I was a black sheep of. And, you know, 9 months sober, I attended my first international convention in Toronto with my wife. And we weren't married at that time, but, you know, and what an amazing feeling. I remember standing in the Sky Dome, the big meeting, and, you know, holding hands and saying the Lord's Prayer. And at that time in my sobriety, I knew that everything was going to be okay for me. And whether I liked it or not, it was going to be okay. And, you know, and then almost over 10 years later, you know, I'm at my third international convention with my family. And, whew, what a ride. You know, if the 12 concepts aren't working in my life, I'm not really sure, you know. And, you know, I'm involved, you know, I have sponsees, I have a sponsor, I have a service sponsor, you know. I go to meetings, you know, I'm active, you know. I think I have the icing on the cake, and, you know, I've eaten lots of cake in AA, I can guarantee you that, but... you know, I don't know. You know, I've been walking around here this weekend, and you know, I ran into a guy who has family in the town that I live in. You know, and he's actually speaking at the same time as me right now in a different meeting. And you know, what an amazing, amazing time. And I don't know how much time I have left, but I think I'm going to sit down after I read you something out of the Big Book. And you know, once again, I'd just like to thank my wife and my family and my mom for being here. And, you know, but, you know, I always end my talk the same way. And, it's out of the Big Book. And, you know, we went for a honeymoon to New York City, and we went to a general service office, and we went to Stepping Stones, and, you know, I'm living the AA way, you know. Yeah, and I bring my Big Book everywhere I go. And, you know, when I went to Stepping Stones, when I read this, I always think of Bill W. And his desk at in his little office, Wits End, and, you know, with his feet up on the desk looking out the window. And, you know, it always reminds me how grateful I am for him and for the people have come before me. And so if you just let me read this, and this really sums up what Alcoholics Anonymous means to me. And so it says, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what each day. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, and make your faults to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. You shall be with us in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you. Okay, thanks, Chris. And next we'll have Angie.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angie, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Angie.
I am sober this morning through the living grace of God and the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have been sober since August 28th of 1982 due to the... And I thank you for that. I am very grateful to be here, and I want to thank Eva on behalf of the General Service Board for asking me to participate in this wonderful 80th celebration of Alcoholics Anonymous International Conference. What an honor and what a privilege to be here with you today, and I thank you and thank her for that. Shake it off. God's going to check in here in just a second. I am a member of a new home group, Old Format, new home group, the Egan Open Speaker MNTG, which could be meeting, or could also be an offshoot of the Moorhead Thursday Night Group. We meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Egan Community Center, and it is an open meeting, open to everyone and anyone. And the speakers are selected by the chairperson selects members of the home group to speak. So newcomers can come and listen, and professionals can also come to find out something about Alcoholics Anonymous. So you're all welcome to attend if you're ever in the Egan, Minnesota area. I was 1 year old when the 12 concepts for world service were adapted by the 12th General Service Conference in 1962, written by Bill W. Each concept is really a group of related principles, the kind of abbreviated statements as used in AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions. But when I looked at the topic of this workshop today, all I saw was cake, and I know something about that. So what I'd like to do this morning is just share with you a little bit about my experience with the concepts and how it related to my sobriety and what has happened over the last 32, almost 33 years of my sobriety because of this loving and merciful God that I understand today. Back in 1982, I asked the higher power that I did not understand to please help me. And I was directed to a group in Dickinson, North Dakota. I was directed to a woman. They said, go ask her to help you. Maybe she's the only one that can. And what I found was exactly what I was looking for, the help that I had asked for. God put people in my life to help me, and that's never changed since coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I met my current sponsor now, Dorothy, there, and another lady, Nona, and the three of us were sponsored by the same woman, Jean, for many years, and we began our journey in recovery, unity and service. And little did I know, almost 33 years ago, where we would end up. We used to laugh about where we'd end up. You know, oh, yeah, we're going to travel to, you know, Minnesota. You know. But I came into Alcoholics Anonymous a complete and total failure in every department of living. I was 21 years old. I had tried AA before when I was 15, and I didn't get a sponsor. You know, it sounded an awful lot like a mother, and I already had one of those. And I didn't want to get a sponsor. I didn't want to do what you were doing because I just didn't think I was that bad. But by the time I was 21, I was that bad and worse, and they suggested that I go to that meeting, that Dickinson Sunday morning group. Oh, that was also patterned after the Moorhead Thursday night group. And get that sponsor, and we started going places and doing things. My sponsor was involved in service, and we began at a very early age in sobriety. Number one, learning how to get along. And, you know, we talk about that in the concepts. Now, how does that relate to the concepts? Well, the concepts, Bill wrote, to help us with our world services. They are a guide and a principle to help guide us in the absence of his presence. And I learned very early on that I needed to learn how to get along with others. And of course, Dorothy knew very well that I needed that. And as we traveled around, I learned to be tolerant and considerate and unselfish and, you know, put the others before my needs and that kind of thing. And that set the basis for what I have come to know as a whole new world for me opened up after going through the 12 steps with my sponsor, learning about the traditions and practicing those principles before personalities. And as I became a little more coherent, they threw a rag at me. I said, "Would you please wipe that table off over there?" And it became that participation. You know, the key... I just lost my train of thought. I am 54. The key to harmony, participation is the key to harmony. And when I grabbed that rag and I became willing to participate in that group, it became my group. And it became my coffee pot, my district meeting, my area assembly. And then I moved to a different area, and I found out I could stay sober and still participate in service, become a member of a home group, sponsor others. I, too, was the treatment facility chairperson for Area 40, Montana, back in the 90s, and participated in many things to carry the message to the still-suffering alcoholic. And I moved back to Minnesota, where I'm from, and I was asked eventually to be the secretary, which is ironic because I did not know how to type. So that's just proof, you know, that God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen. I've never been qualified for anything I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know anything about... the longer I'm here, the less I know. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, you know. And I served as secretary for Southern Minnesota, and then they asked me to be the alternate delegate, and then I was elected as delegate. And I served on panel 61. That was 2011, 2012, and I went to the General Service Conference. I was Southern Minnesota's contribution to the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous. And prior to that time, I had had a phone call from Dorothy, and she said, Andrew, you just aren't going to believe this. My name was just drawn from the hat to be the trustee at large for the U.S. And I said, "What's that?" There's one of them, you know. It's like, how does that happen? And Bill was divinely inspired, and we all know that, because you can't take, how do you take two people 80 years ago and create this? 94 countries represented last night in the flag ceremony. How does that happen? You know? And this whole time, I have never had to do anything alone. And so it's astonishing to me how he knew that our service structure and our world services would need the kind of direction as laid, that is laid out in the 12 concepts. He knew, and he put it down in our service manual. Okay, you can find the 12 concepts in the service manual, which has already been said. They're different colors for the different conference years. So, And how am I doing on time? Okay. In the concepts, we have rate of decision. And, you know, I prepared to go to the General Service Conference as delegate. My area prepared me. They shared with me how they felt about the agenda items, and I carried the sense of that area with me. However, when I got to the conference, there was more information revealed in our service committees. I was on the Report and Charter Committee, and that is the committee that reviews the service manual for changes. And while I'm on this topic, I just want to share with you, you may know this already, but when you see these little lines on the side of the margin, these little lines in the margin, that means that there was a change from the last service manual. There was some kind of a change. So you would know that something went on there at that conference. And that changed the service manual. And as I progressed in my experience at the conference, I realized something, that it wasn't about me representing or being sent there by my area. It was about me learning whatever it was that my higher power needed me to learn. A little more humility. Participating as a woman I could be proud of. All of those things were just the opposite of the way I used to be. And this program is designed to change me, to change us. And no matter how long I'm here, no matter how much time and effort I try to give back to Alcoholics Anonymous, I will never give back what I have received. And so if you're bored in Alcoholics Anonymous, get involved in service, because there is so much to do that if every member of Alcoholics Anonymous was involved in service, we would still have more work to do. So these concepts, coming back to the concepts, we can find them in the service manual. There is a pamphlet, P8, that is 12 concepts illustrated with pictures, makes it a little more simple. And there's also a service piece, which is the concepts checklist that can also be used. And that's SMF-91, in case you're taking notes. I would just like to share with you a few other things. Each concept is really a group of related principles, the kind of abbreviated statements used in AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions. However, the concepts do represent the best summation, and this is Bill speaking, that I am able to make after more than 20 years' experience in the creation of our service structure and in the conduct of AA's world affairs. Like earlier written, the 12 steps and 12 traditions, the conference charter, and the conference charter, these service principles are also the outcome of long reflection and extensive consultation. It is much to be hoped that these 12 concepts will become a welcome addition to our third legacy manual of AA World Service, which it has, and that they will prove to be a reliable working guide in the years to lie ahead. Alcoholics Anonymous is all over the world, and we are the leaders. The other countries look to us to lead the way and to show them how this is done. And in our 12 concepts, it outlines how we can do that. Just like the 12 steps outline to the individual how to get sober, the 12 traditions outline to the groups how to continue growing as a group, and the 12 concepts for world service help us stay strong and help guide us into the future. And I know my friend Jeff is going to get into a little more detail about the concepts, so I won't do that. I just wanted to leave you with a couple of things. That no matter where you've come from, no matter where you're at in your sobriety, Alcoholics Anonymous can change your life just by a little bit of willingness. All it took was a little bit of willingness to get in the car and to be willing to give back what was so freely given to me. And all of a sudden, the years go by attending meetings and working with newcomers. And I just want to thank my sponsees and their sponsees and my sponsor and my husband and, you know, everyone who came, my friend Steve, another delegate, to support me today. You know, this is the family that I never had. And sponsorship loved me back to life. And if this program can work for me, it can work for anyone. And if you just don't drink and don't die, you become old in Alcoholics Anonymous. And they keep asking you, you know, if you don't bleed too much as a bleeding deacon, they keep asking you to come back and do something else. And I am so grateful for the life that I have today because I've done nothing to really deserve it. I've done nothing to deserve it, but I was willing to put one foot in front of the other and keep breathing and keep not drinking and just do what I think my higher power wants me to do. And there is so much hope. And when we said the Lord's Prayer last night in the big meeting, it changes us, doesn't it? It heals that pain that we carry. And I want to thank you. You've been a wonderful audience, and I appreciate everything that this conference has done for me this weekend. And I want to thank you for my sobriety. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. Next, we'll have Jeff B.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff, and Good morning. My name is Jeff, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 1st, 2003. My home group is the. Thank you. Not my doing, I assure you. All my higher power. My home group is the Friday night beginner discussion meeting in Bound Brook, New Jersey. Nice. Who knew Bound Brook would be represented here other than by me? My recovery sponsor is Brian F., and since I do a lot of service work in AA, I have a service sponsor, Linda KK. If you don't know what a service sponsor is, see me after the program and we'll talk. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the area chair for Area 44, Northern New Jersey. And I wanted to thank the General Service Office and Eva S. for asking me to speak and to do this presentation, and for our other speakers who talked about the concepts as well, and Bob, who's doing our leading for us. So, and for putting on just an amazing conference here. Hasn't it been great so far? Yeah, really, really has. Okay. We often hear of our three legacies of recovery, unity, and service used together. It can serve as a reminder to us that our movement has 36 fundamental principles, 12 for our legacy of recovery, 12 traditions for our legacy of unity, right, which really which is for the preservation of our fellowship, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous this morning. You know, I came earlier when no one was here and looked at the room. I said, "Oh, that's a little room." And then I come and I see all you standing in the line out there, and oh my God. And we have our 12 concepts for our legacy of service, right, to guide us in service. And these three basic principles led us to the formation of our symbol for our fellowship, the circle and the triangle, right? That inspirational symbol was first unveiled at the 20th anniversary convention, which took place July 3rd, 60 years ago. And we'll talk more about that later. Now, the analogy I'd like to use in describing our three legacies of service more is in line with the title of this presentation. I'd like you to imagine a cake with three different layers. We'll call this our recovery, unity, and service cake. Now, as Bob pointed out, this is a virtual cake. I do not have any cake up here. Okay. So the bottom layer would be the largest circle, and we'd label that recovery. That needs to be the largest circle because that's going to be the base for our cake. The middle layer would be a slightly smaller circle, which we'll label unity, and that would rest upon the recovery layer. And then the final layer, our top layer, would be for service, right? So let's start with baking the bottom layer representing recovery, which is our base. It's where we all began with our spiritual journey. This layer is the largest and strongest because it needs to support the other layers. We begin by reading the cookbooks for this layer, which for us are the Big Book and the 12 and 12. We attend meetings, a lot of meetings, and we start to acquire the ingredients that we need for this layer: spirituality, honesty, love, tolerance, and acceptance. We mix them all together, and we get into action. We do a fourth and a fifth step, which for me cleared out a lot of the fear and the anger that I had locked inside of me. We start working on our character defects and making our amends. And then the icing for this layer would come from taking continual inventory, doing more spiritual work, and then carrying the message to the still sick and suffering alcoholic, and of course practicing those principles in all our affairs. With a bottom solid layer for recovery, we'd move on to making the middle layer for unity based on the 12 traditions. For this, we turn back to the 12 and 12, which is our cookbook here. We begin with the basic ingredients for that layer, which are an understanding of our common welfare coming first, the importance of group conscience, and the need for anonymity. These ingredients take a little longer to acquire than the recovery ingredients, but they're vital to the unity layer as well as to the survival of our fellowship. We mix them together and bake them along with our singleness of purpose, the requirements for self-support, and for non-professionalism. The icing for this layer would be how we apply the principles of anonymity at all levels: press, radio, films, TV, and especially now, social media. And as long as how we practice these principles, in addition, how we put principles before personalities. I have to be careful to say that right because I always often do it the other way around. With these two layers completed, we turn our attention to the remaining layer, our top layer for service. But are we ready to start preparing this layer? Are we familiar enough with the ingredients that we call the 12 concepts? I submit that there are many of us who are not familiar enough with what the concepts are in this layer. We find these in a different manual, the service manual, okay, which at the back, I didn't realize they were there at first, at the back are the 12 concepts for world service, which is BM31 if you're looking in the literature catalog. My introduction to the concepts came through reading the service manual. I was very fortunate to have fallen into service very early in my sobriety. I did a lot of work and started attending my district meetings. And in my district, when a new committee member comes in, we hand them a service manual. That's one of the things that my district, which is District 35 in area 44. And I say that I'm fortunate to have fallen into service work because it really has become an anchor for my sobriety. It helps me from slipping back into drinking and to avoid the things that I used to drink for, like all the problems in my life, the issues that I had, and it kind of gave me my life back. Now, I have a service sponsor, and she'll often say that people who she meets who does service beyond the home group at the district level and at the area level rarely, if ever, go out. So it's really an anchor for our sobriety. Of course, I still need to go to my recovery meetings. I still need to be a part of my home group. And, of course, my sponsor, who couldn't get in here probably because he was on his way, I still call him on a regular basis. And if he was here, he would verify that, right? So as I started reading the service manual, I began to understand the service structure of our fellowship. Typically, my focus was on whatever current service position I was in, but more was revealed to me as I continued to read it, and it's really a fascinating manual for me. So, reading the service manual is a lot like when we talk about our recovery and how it's like peeling back the layers of an onion, right? Service structure for me was the same way in doing service in AA. So reading the service manual kind of was like that for me. It peeled back a layer and more was revealed as I read it on an ongoing basis. And of course, everyone who typically talks about our service manual says if you're having trouble reading, trouble sleeping at night, this is what you should do. Just read the service manual. And in the original part of my presentation, it says I'm not going to make the usual joke about that, but I made it anyway. Okay. As my service work progressed down the inverted triangle, which is page S15 in the service manual, by the way, I began reading the concepts, right? The essays on the concepts were more complicated and difficult to understand than the ones on the steps and the traditions, right? Having a service sponsor would have helped me at that point, but I didn't get a service sponsor until later in my service career. As I came back to them and reread them on an ongoing basis, they started to make more sense, and I started to understand them. My service sponsor and I recently completed a year-long study that we did. So if you're wondering how you can learn more about these, right, get a group of people together, right, and on a monthly basis, we took like one Sunday a month, we would get together, brought in a number of our service sponsees, and we studied a concept a month, right? So we would assign somebody the concept. We would go through, read the entire essay, reading it paragraph by paragraph like we do at a step meeting, right? And then we would share on it, and it really helped our understanding of the concepts. All right, so where do we begin to understand these ingredients for the service layer that we call the concepts? Well, let's return to that image of the Kyle Auditorium 60 years ago with the symbol of the circle and the triangle fluttering in the breeze above Bill W.'s head, as he presented a resolution to the members of AA gathered for that 20th anniversary convention. In the late 40s, after the development of the traditions, Bill and Dr. Bob became concerned about how AA would function when the founders were no longer there to guide our fellowship. Much of the day-to-day work on the finances and the actual work for our fellowship was already being done by the trustee members of the Alcoholic Foundation, which we now call the General Service Board. But the members in the groups only knew Bill and Bob, right? How would these trustees function when Bill and Bob were gone, and where would they get their direction from the groups? The resolution that was passed on that day actually turned the final responsibility and responsibility and ultimate authority for AA as a whole over to us, over to the fellowship. Who's responsible for AA? You and I are responsible for AA, right? Well, what does that mean, right? And that's concept one, by the way, right, that we are responsible for AA. But what does that mean to the individuals in our home groups, right? How do they participate? Well, there are a couple of ways. First, anyone can make a suggestion as to what AA as a whole should consider, right? You as a member could make that suggestion. For example, last year there was an item that was on the conference agenda suggested by one member in a home group who didn't like a drug analogy in living sober. And that was considered by the conference. The literature committee looked at that. Or the suggestion that came from several areas that we have a 75th edition big book. That suggestion came from the fellowship, right? So that first item that I mentioned about the change to living sober, that never actually even made it to the conference floor. However, we all know what happened with the 75th anniversary Big Book edition, right? And you can get one right down the hall. Right? Second, as a member in my area, we examine the items which are being considered for the current year, which have been suggested by the members of AA and will be considered by the General Service Conference. And we'll talk a little bit more about the conference in a minute. Our delegates in my area, our delegates and our past delegates get together, look over the final conference agenda, and they pick 8 or 12 items on that agenda for our area to consider. We hold a number of pre-conference reports where the background materials from GSO are shared with all of our group GSRs, right? Then these group GSRs who are responsible for bringing this information go back to their groups and hold a business meeting where they talk about the items that are going to be on the General Service Conference. These GSRs then come to an assembly. They come to an assembly that we call our mini-conference assembly, where they actually give the information to our delegate, right? And that's kind of how that works. So the process is going to vary from area to area, but my point is that individual members of AA, it's our responsibility to discuss and vote on these matters and also to suggest items that we want to see changed in AA. It's our responsibility, right? That responsibility is more of a delegated responsibility, but it's like our elections when there's something on the ballot to vote at a city level or a county level or a state level, right? You're there to provide your feedback on it, right? Now, the mechanism by which those items are discussed, right, and voted on and a group conscience is reached is actually through our General Service Conference, which is Concept 2. That's our next ingredient in the cake. In the late 40s, Bill W. proposed the idea of a General Service Conference as a way for the fellowship to provide input and guide the direction of AA, which up until that time had been provided by them. The conference would bring delegates from around the country and Canada together once a year to discuss and debate the items which were the most important for AA at the time. At first, there was great opposition to us having a conference, and even Dr. Bob had some misgivings. There was fear that politics would determine the outcome of these items and that there would be a great expense for the conference. Ultimately, though, through the efforts of one of our non-alcoholic friends, the alcoholic trustee, Bernard Smith, who helped facilitate that first conference, and Dr. Bob's agreement just before his death, that the first experimental conference was held in 1951. Those conferences proved to be quite successful, and after the fifth experimental conference, and through that resolution that we talked about earlier, Alcoholics Anonymous was turned over by Bill to the fellowship, and the mechanism for doing that is through our General Service Conference, which is Concept 2. With the first General Service Conference, the area structure was also put into place as the mechanism for identifying the person from each one of your areas that would attend this conference. Each delegate would come for 2 years with half the delegates rotating out each year. The delegate would bring the group conscience from their area on the items being discussed. The areas would delegate their responsibility to this individual, who would then come and talk about those items and vote on them in the same way that you delegate in your groups your responsibility to the GSR to talk about what's going on in your areas. The delegate attends the General Service Conference on behalf of their area, but represents AA as a whole. The delegate will listen to each matter and discuss them and then vote on them. They'll vote on each item based upon what they hear, as well as your group conscience, right? So that ability for them to vote the way that they feel is right for AA as a whole is called the right of decision. That right of decision is Concept 3. This concept is the first of what you might call AA's Bill of Rights, which is three of the concepts. So Concept 4 is the right of participation, and the right of appeal is Concept 5. In addition to the delegates, the General Service Conference is attended by the trustees of the General Service Board, directors and staff from both AA corporations, AA World Service, and the Grapevine. The right of participation ensures that each of these attendees has a vote and that no attendee is more important than another. The right of appeal, which is one of my favorite concepts, is one of the most important, right? That's concept five. So when we take a vote on something, we typically decide those votes by what we call substantial unanimity, which is not just a basic majority, but you need two-thirds to vote on these items and to accept them, right? So even when that vote is taken, however, we request minority appeal, right? So the non-prevailing side at that point in time has the opportunity once again to present their opinions, right, and restate their position. And I've seen, you know, minority appeal take a vote that was already done and turn it all around, right? You might not realize this, but at the conference, having a 75th anniversary edition was first voted down and only was approved on minority appeal. Right? So once an item is voted on and passed by the General Service Conference with a two-thirds majority and stands up under minority appeal, that item becomes what's called an advisory action. There's a fascinating book, which is really the history of our society as a whole and what we've done. It's called the Advisory Action Book, right? And from 1951 through the current year, you can see on every committee exactly what advisory actions were passed and the changes that were implemented in AA. If you want a fascinating read through the history of AA, get that book. And hold on one second. It is M39 in our literature catalog. So our General Service Conference meets for only 1 week out of the year. So when an advisory action is voted on by the conference, how does that advisory action then become something that we do, right? So several years back, you know, well, actually, at this year's conference, there was a vote taken, right? And we will now have a pamphlet for the mentally ill, right? Which is great, right? And also, as many of you checked in, you saw that there was a new pamphlet that they had on the desks about spirituality in AA, right? Right. There was a vote taken to revamp the gay and lesbian pamphlet, right, which hadn't been revised since like 1986, right? You know, and that will take a number of years. But how does that happen? Who's going to work on that? Who's going to make sure that that what this conference voted on and what previous conferences voted on is actually going to be put into action? Well, that's left up to the trustees. So that's left up to the trustees of the General Service Board. If you look in the service manual, if you see in Section 4, there's the current conference charter, right? And what that says is, it will be understood as a matter of tradition that a two-thirds vote of the conference shall be considered binding upon the General Service Board and its related corporate services, provided the total vote constitutes a conference quorum. So the trustees of the General Service Board will then put plans into place to actually implement the advisory actions that come out of the conference. So it's important for us to really understand who these trustees are and what they do. And several of the additional concepts after concept five deal with our trustees, right? So there are actually four of them. So concept six, which basically says that they will implement this work, talks about and states that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most world service matters should be exercised by the trustees. The second concept is concept seven, which describes the checks and the balances between the trustees, which have all the legal authority, and the conference, which operates on tradition. Concept eight examines how the trustees are responsible for guaranteeing good management of AA through the two service corporations, AAWS and the Grapevine, and they do that because they can elect all the directors of those corporations. And finally, there's concept 11, which describes the trustees committee of the General Service Board. There are various different committees. I think there's 11 different committees. So there's a literature committee, there's a report and charter that Angie was on. And if you look in the concepts, they have a description of what the current committees are. These are the committees that actually do the action and do the work of taking an advisory action and bringing it to fruition. That's described in Concept 11. They also are responsible for getting ready for next year's conference. Right. So now our basic understanding of what the ingredients would be for a service layer are almost complete. However, there are two other concepts that we need to talk about that relate to leadership in AA, right? When I first started doing my service work, you know, I received a lot of positive feedback. I wasn't getting a lot of positive feedback in anything when I first came into AA. I came into AA in 2003 after getting my second and my third drunk driving conviction, right? So the state of New Jersey thought that AA would be a good choice for me. But, you know, I started getting a lot of positive feedback. I went to our convention when I was about 2 months sober, and I fell right into doing service work, right? And, you know, when I get positive attention, I'm an alcoholic. I want more of it, right? So I did a lot of service work. My area would form ad hoc committees from time to time, and so I got the nickname Ad Hoc Jeff, right? Trust me, it wasn't a compliment, right? So my service sponsor worked with me to help me get right-sized with my service work and to better learn how to have balance in my life. Still working on that, right? But she also helped me to realize that it's my responsibility to find others and help lead them into service, right? Bill wrote an article in the April 59 Grapevine that was entitled Leadership in AA, Ever a Vital Need, right? And here's what he wrote. A leader in AA service is a man or a woman who can personally put principles, plans, and policies into such dedicated and effective action that the rest of us want to back him up and help him with his job, right? Effective leadership in AA is the subject of Concept 9. As a matter of fact, that essay from that article is reproduced in whole in Concept 9 in the service manual, right? Tradition 2 here is very important because it's important for us to realize that as we are not leaders, we're simply trusted servants, right? Concept 10 also deals with service and states that every service responsibility should be matched by an equal service authority with the scope of such authority well defined. Okay. So now we're ready to mix together all the ingredients of our service layer of our cake. We take the ultimate authority of the fellowship, the active voice of the general service conference, the rights of decision, participation, and appeal, the trustees of the general service board, the two AA service corporations, and combine them with the effective leadership. That's a pretty crowded bowl, right? To bake a solid layer, a top layer for our service. Now, what would the icing for that layer be? Well, the icing for that layer would be the 6 warranties of the conference charter, which are included as Concept 12, which states that the conference should exercise prudence in conducting its affairs in AA and have served the spirit of AA tradition by never becoming the seat of wealth of perilous wealth and power, utilizing a prudent reserve as the guiding financial principles, not placing one member in unqualified authority over another, reaching decision by substantial unanimity, that its actions never be personally punitive or incitement to public controversy, and my favorite is that it always remains democratic in thought and action. Right? As we place this solidly baked and well-iced layer for service on top of the cake, we can be confident that we bake the best possible cake for recovery and unity and service. These concepts have been a guide for me as I continue to do my service work, and as I continue to study them, I'm sure that more will be revealed. But I must not forget that this work needs to be built on a solid foundation of recovery as I continue to do my steps, and of unity as I continue to be part of this fellowship. I'm blessed to have found this spiritual way of life, and I'm grateful beyond words for what Bill and Bob have done for us here as they founded this program 80 years ago, for my sponsors who continually teach me, and just for being able to be here and be with you at this international conference. Thanks for letting me serve.
I'd like to thank all the speakers one more time, the panelists.